It's a pleasure to introduce our speaker this morning, our brother Marvin. And I'm sure that he would appreciate your silent prayers and your kind attention as he brings us the word this morning. Brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Well, we have another nice day before the snow flies. Enjoy these warmer days. I like them very much. They can continue. We'll commence here in the book of Psalms on number 121 is where we'll begin. And we'll just read the whole chapter. It's a short one. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And true, that's where all of our help does come from, is from our Lord and Savior. He has provided the things here on life for us in this walk that we have to perform before Him. And so we are to look for Him. He blesses those that look to Him, cry to Him for help. He blesses them. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, but he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And truly, the Lord doesn't slumber. He's awake all the time. We slumber in this walk of life and go to sleep at the will, as the saying is going, and we kind of sometimes forget the commandments of God that He has given to us, to those good laws that He gives to us to obey and to be guided by Him. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And you know, truly, that is true. He was the shade for the house of Israel. You know, them 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness there, and he was a light to them by night. And so he helped them. He provided for them many things. He provided for them. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. And truly he will. To those that will keep his laws within their hearts, that they forget not what his word says. You know, in this walk of life, we have the books here to read, and we shouldn't just once a month pick up the books and read them, or once every 6 months or whatever. You know, we should make them a part of our life. The Lord is our light and our guide, and He'll bless us. He'll be with us. He'll protect us from that harm and hurt, them bumps along the road. He'll smooth out the road for us. To those that will be obedient unto Him and will obey His commandments. But you know, we have a problem. We're human. And I'd like to go over here in the Book of Mormon on page 218 here and read one that we read from time to time. I enjoy picking up on this verse. Here, it's verse number 119. It says, for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. And truly, that is true. You know, that natural man, he don't want much to do with the commandments of God. He not interested in attending church and such and all as that. You know, those things can keep. We got life to live, and we got to go along in the ways of the world, and mix with it. And you know, when you mix with that type of a crowd, some of those things rub off on you. Some of their ways just can't help. And so we must search the scriptures and keep those things within our heart at all times, his commandments. And so the natural man is an enemy to God. The adversary, he loves that natural individual. Whether it speaks of man here, it's not speaking of the male species of the human race alone, but it's speaking of both the men and the women here when it speaks of man, that they're an enemy to God. And truly they are. They have to put away those things. But on verse 120 here, sir, but if he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit, you know, this is what we have to yield ourselves to. You remember Laman and Lemuel when Nephi was talking to them? And he asked them if they had inquired the Lord, and they says, well, no, he don't make anything known to us. Well, we become so hardened in our hearts that we don't hear the promptings of the Spirit. And that's what happened to Laman and Lemuel. You know, they just quit listening to the promptings of the Spirit, and they listened to the wrong spirit, and they become a natural man. And because of it, they become an enemy to God. And that's what can happen to us just as easy as it was to Laman and Lemuel. But there's a very good escape route that the Lord has made, and that's turn unto him and keep his commandments that he has given to us to follow if we want to. And putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. And see, these are the things that if we want the Spirit of the Lord to be with us, we have to allow these things to creep into our lives and surrender to those things of being humble. But you know, pride kind of drives all of those things out. The other good things fly away when pride enters into our heart. Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as the child does submit to his father. And you know, the children, correct them and guide them. If we love them, it says, we'll correct and guide them. But if we don't love them, we don't correct and guide them. We let them grow up as the wild weeds of the world. That's what happened to us as we grow up. You know, my folks grabbed me by the hand and took me to church. I was resisting all the way. My feet were sliding all the way, if you want to put it that way. But come Sunday morning, I was in church. Come Sunday evening, same way. You know, Mom had to drag me to church. I was resisting all the way. Well, that natural man, that's what's resisting. But we went. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, or if we had some other services during the week, we went. We wasn't allowed to say, well, I don't feel well or whatever. Come along, was the response. And so we were drug off to church, and that is the way we should be, to hear the Word of God. We should make these books our favorite books, that they become a part of us. So, and moreover I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. And you know, this is really yet ahead of us, that it will fully spread throughout the world. But still in all, it has to have a beginning, and beginning with us, the people, that we be obedient to the promptings of the Lord and obey. You know, I'm probably the world's worst at paying attention to the promptings of the Spirit of the Lord and obeying it. You know, my sister here, you know, she told me about a time coming back from Denver, and she's driving, and the Spirit told her to watch out. And, you know, she done that very thing. She watched out. And because of it, she was blessed, spared an accident. But, you know, when you do not obey the promptings of the Spirit, you disregard it, you're going to get hurt. Every time, it's guaranteed, you're going to come up losers. And so we are given the promptings of the Spirit, just like I read here in Psalms. It's for our guidance, for our help. The Lord will bless His people and strengthen them in those ways, but we have to watch out for that natural man. I'd like to go over in the book of Hebrews and read a little here in the third chapter of Hebrews. Begin here with the seventh verse in the third chapter of Hebrews. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You know, that's an easy thing for us to do, is to harden our hearts and not hear the Lord. It says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocations in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And you know, that's just what the children of Israel did. They hardened their hearts. And they suffered many trials and tribulations, things that were not pleasant to them at all. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, you know, and that's true. Think of all the miracles, I want to say miracles, there in Egypt before the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. There was quite a number of miracles that the Lord performed before the people so that they would know that it was the Lord. Well, in the wilderness, they got out there and they wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, it was better living back there than was in the wilderness there. They had their food, you might say, given to them there by the Lord, but still and all, they didn't like it. And you know, that's typical of human beings. We don't always like the Word of God. We want to go our own way and be unshackled from the laws of God and become that natural man. That's what we got to put away. When the fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. You know, they really should have been staunch believers after seeing all of those miracles that the Lord done. But they weren't. Some of them were. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And this is the way it is. We can allow that natural man to overpower our good senses, and we disregard the commandments of God and those things. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this is what we got to be careful of. You know, the Jaredites, what happened to them? Finally, at the end, you know, they rejected the Word of God. What happened to the Nephites? Well, same thing. You know, they were destroyed, and the Lamanites were more righteous than they were, and yet the Lamanites weren't righteous either. But because they had the Word of God, they rejected it. And they went their own way, and the Lord brought His punishment upon them. The same thing that will happen to this nation as well. You know, this nation as a whole has rejected the Word of God. Really. And we're seeing the product of that. You know, that natural man is growing up in more and more of the people all the time, and they don't want to be bothered with the Word of God. They want to go their own way. They want the pleasures of the world and that. And so we have to watch out for those things. I'd like to go back over into the book of Mark and read here in the 9th chapter. Over on verse 33 here of the 9th chapter. And read a few verses here. You know, this here is concerning the disciples of Christ that were there with him. And you know, the natural man is a peeking its ugly head up over the top of the table and putting thoughts in their minds and such not. And you know, that's the way an adversary does. He's all the time creeping into our thoughts and putting thoughts that are not wholesome to our soul. And verse 33 here. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" You know, he knew what it was. But you know, they hadn't told him what it was. And so, but they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. You know, isn't this typical of mankind? You know, you run into it. You run into it in your workplace. You know, somebody just better than you and all of that, and they'll step on you and anything to advance themselves. However, they don't really much care. But anyway, here they are disputing among themselves who should be the greatest here among the 12 here. And you know, what has happened? Pride has entered into their hearts is what it is. And so they are being subject to the temptations of the adversary is what it is. They allowed those thoughts of the world, the glory of it, to overpower their better senses. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And so it is, you know. He let them know that the one was not to be greater than the other. And that's the way it is here with us in this church as well. We're not to be greater than anybody. But, you know, the ministry is the servant of the people. But still, we have to obey the laws of God in all things. And he's explaining these things to his 12. That they have to be obedient to him. And he took a child. Now, you know, he's using word pictures here, if you want to put it that way. He's using an example. And he takes this little child and sets him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him. But him receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And so he's drawn an example here that a child here, you know, it's really as a humble individual a child is. It's obedient to those that raised it, as they instruct it. It is obedient, and that's what he's trying to tell them here, that they're to be obedient to the Lord in this walk of life in all things, to be humble, to be meek. You know what we read there in the Book of Mormon, that we're to be, well, let me read it again. Them things are easy to forget them. And we do forget them there. You know, but if he yieldeth to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, you know, that's a hard thing to put off, that natural man, and become as a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child. You know, that's what he's trying to bring to the 12 here at Jerusalem, that they need to be humble as a child. submissive, meek, humble, patient, and full of love. That's what we are to be. And you know, that's what the Nephites here on this land become at one time, full of love like that, and the church prospered very much. But you know, the natural man, we sometimes get up in the morning and as the old saying is, we got a burr under a hide. You know, we just, everything is wrong. And so that's what we have to work to get rid of, that burr under a hide. We're at cross purpose with everybody. You know, as I tell some people, I says, you need to go back to bed and get up on the other side of the bed where there's a little more peace in your heart. And so that is the way it is with us, that grouchy mood that we have, we need to get rid of it. We need to seek the Lord out and ask him for help there. The Lord can, but we have an enemy that helps us to be against our Lord and Savior. I'd like to go back here into the Book of Mormon on page 146 and read some more. Now this is speaking to our people here in this day on verse 90 here on page 146. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and half stumbled because of the greatness of the stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Now this is what the stumbling block of the people of this nation is their many churches. There are false prophets that they have among them. You know, you can't hardly find anybody that's hardly interested in the gospel. You know, they all have their own. And you know, it's not just in our day. It was back in Israel's day as well. You know, they had the same problem. They had their many churches back then and their false prophets there. And we have them here today. And they lead people away from Christ is really what they do. They don't bring them to him at all. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God. And see, that's just what they do today. And these things are all done away with. They only was during the time of Christ and such not as that. They put these things down. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom, their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And this is really what they do. You know, they preach for a living, for money. That's their living. And they want that. And they're learning. You know, you can't be a minister of the world unless what? You got to have a degree. Got to have that little certificate paper that says you graduated from a divinity college so you can preach. You know, that's what they got to have. And so they're taught, you know, our colleges really are not good at all in teaching the Word of God. They're plumb bad. They teach about the most evil things and turn people away from the Lord as anything that you can imagine. A person can go to these colleges and want to follow the ways of the Lord and be pretty good in that way, and then the ideas that they give there turn people away from the Lord, and they make them... Well, they just teach so much against the ways of the Lord that they become atheists, if you want to put it that way. And there are many churches built up which cause envy, strife, and malice, and that's really what they do. You know, this is one of the hallmarks of the adversary, is to create contention, create strife, and all that. That's his hallmarks. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old. And so this is something that's always been around, is these secret organizations. We have them today in the world. We have them among the Templar churches, called the Templars. The Masonites, the Catholic Church has theirs as well. And many times when growing up as children, you know, they get out and they like to have their little club. And so sometimes in the club they'll have a little secret word. And they really think it's great. Well, then things grow up and some of them, you know, they know it's not correct. And they grow out of them. But a lot of them do not grow out of them. And, you know, they grow into them, into the ways of the world and gather into these organizations where these organizations are there to draw people away from Christ is what they are. They're the enemy of the Lord. And so we have to be careful of those things. We must follow what the Lord has given. I'd like to back up here on page 38 in the Book of Mormon. And I'd like to read here on verse 201 and read some. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power in every very deed unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks. See, that's what the Lord has done. He set up his church, you know, set up in 1830. Joseph Smith was instrumental in the hands there. It was to take away these stumbling blocks, but it still has not done that. Even yet today, we have those stumbling blocks. If it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, and you know this is what has happened. They have turned their hearts against the Lord. And if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel. And they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. And so this is the promised land we're living in. This whole country has been blessed. We've had all the goodies, if you want to put it that way, of life. But they would continue forever, those good things, if the people would turn to the Lord as they should. But our society is morally getting more wicked because the pleasures of the world is what it is. That natural man is a growing in their hearts. They don't want to be tied down to the, as they say, to the laws of God. I can't do this and I can't do that. And so you remember about all of those people that went into that great big building. Here on page 21, I'll begin here with verse 64. Now this here, he's Lehi's vision here, speaking of that great building and the rod of iron that is there and leads along by the path there to the tree of life. I'll begin here on verse 64. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. and I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led under the tree by which I stood. But there happened to be some hindrance there, and you know why they started. They don't end up there. And it come to pass that they came forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it come to pass that there rose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. You know, it's easy for that mist of darkness to overshadow an individual, and that mist of darkness is that natural man. It's the temptations of the adversary is what it is, but still, we as human beings, we have to fight against it, that natural man. And it's the commandments of God that darken their eyes because they turn away from it. It's a hindrance to them. And so they forget, really, what the commandments and what he has given. Insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it come to pass that I beheld others pressing forward. And they come forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. Now, this rod of iron is the word of God, is what it is. And these people that held to that rod of iron is these two books. They held to it is the word of God. They did not let it go. They held on to it. And so they obeyed the promptings of the Spirit in all things. They didn't allow that darkness or the temptations of the adversary to creep in and darken their minds. And that's what happens when we don't obey the Lord. We don't follow the teachings that he has given here in the Scriptures. On verse 68, and it come to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they come forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about. Behold, on the other side of the river of water, a great and spacious building. Now you notice here, it says here, that they partook of that fruit of the tree. And you know, like in that time, as coming forth and coming into the kingdom of God. They partook of it. The others rejected, if you want to put it that way, the word of God. They weren't baptized into the church of the Lord at all. But as he looks across, he sees this great building. And I'll read some more. On the other side here of the river. And it stood, as it were, in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And you know, that's what they do here to you. They ridicule you. I run into it. They make fun of you. And that's what the people were doing, pointing their fingers at them and scorning them. And after that, they had tasted of the fruit. They were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. Now, I'm sure everybody here knows someone that has done that. Nobody here shouldn't know of that. And they've seen it in their lives, that they rejected it because of the scoffing or whatever it was that the adversary is pointing at them. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward. And they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they come forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And you know, that is what we all desire, really, is partake of that fruit and that. I'd like to go over here into the Book of Mormon and read a little bit of here out of Alma on that fruit. You know, it's in a different way. It's given on page 425. I said 425. I should say 423. Excuse me. On verse here, 153 is where we'll start with. It says, now, if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out of you by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to grow, to swell within your breast. And you know, that's just exactly true. If they cast it off, you remember that the scorn and the ridicule of the people, and they cast it away. They didn't allow it to grow anymore because of the persecution of the people around them, and they left it. But as he says here, let it grow, and it'll be good. Yeah, cast it not away because of your unbelief. And, you know, that's what we do many times. We cast those things away. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourself, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious unto me. And that's the way it is. It grows. The Word of God grows within our hearts. It becomes delicious. It becomes desirable to us if we allow that Holy Spirit to work within it. And we make these two books a part of our life, that we search them and study them and understand them and follow those things. We will be blessed by and by of those things. And, you know, we can partake of that fruit of that tree forever. And the Lord will say, come, you have been faithful. And so that's what we all want in this walk of life, is to come into the kingdom of the Lord. Thank you.